From the Media Factory in the South and of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Right now, I am going to do a second interview, also live, and this is with local author and sometime NaNoWriMo participant, Millicent Eidson, and we're going to talk about what her NaNoWriMo experience is like this year. But first, I'll just give you a little information about Millicent. She writes the alphabetical Maya Maguire microbial mystery series. Dr. Eidson's work as a veterinary epidemiologist began with the CDC and continued at the New Mexico and New York Health Departments. She's a faculty member at University of Albany and the University of Vermont and author of over 100 scientific papers, articles, and book chapters. With formative years in the Southwest, Millie, who publishes under Millicent Eidson, has settled in Vermont with her husband and daughter, inspiration for Maya Maguire. She has won such awards as Best Play in Synchronicity and honorable mention from the Arizona Mystery Writers. So I just want to welcome you to the show, Millie.
Thank you. I'm glad to join you and talk about NaNoWriMo.
Okay, great. And I also want to talk about your books. But so when we first were in touch about talking today, you said that you have done NaNoWriMo a number of times. And then it sounds like maybe you decided to start working on it this month, a little bit farther into the month. How's that going?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, NaNoWriMo has really been essential in helping me write my novel series. And so I'm kind of surprised at myself that I initially wasn't going to do it this time, just because I'm kind of like my mind's taken up with getting my third novel, Corona, published. And so I just kind of put NaNoWriMo to the back. But then when we were talking about it in one of my workshops, and I realized, you know, NaNoWriMo is wonderful for getting the creative energy going, and I just should use it to start my fourth novel. So that's what I did.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. And I think one nice thing about NaNoWriMo, we can talk about this. I think some people follow by the rules, by the letter of the law, and some people do, like I am doing my own thing this month. My friend and I are exchanging work, and we're only committing to 500 words a day, but it gets you writing every day, which is something I need to get back into. So what are you working on now?
Well, I'm still working on my novel series that I started in 2019, and it's alphabetical, so I'm on the, for NaNoWriMo this month, I started the fourth one, which is called Dengue, so it's the D novel.
Okay. And Maya Maguire, did I read right in your bio that it's based on your daughter?
Yeah, the character is kind of an amalgamation of my daughter and me. My daughter, we adopted her from China, and so we're a multi-ethnic, multicultural family. And so when I wanted to create a character like myself, a veterinary epidemiologist, veterinary medical detective, I kind of wanted to tell my daughter's story and my family's story of you know, someone coming from China. And you know, I think that kind of a character brings something unique to the story. So, she was the character was inspired partly by my daughter, and my daughter's also a close reader of the novels and editor. So,
oh, that's a great segue into my next question. I was just going to ask, who do you show your work to, and do you show it to anyone in a different way during November?
I've been heavily involved with workshopping ever since I started writing in 2019. I got started first with the Burlington Writers Workshop. Mm-hmm. So I participate in a number of those and run chapters by other writers in that group. Then Green Mountain Writers split off, and I continue to workshop with them. And then for the last year or two, I've also been workshopping with Sisters in Crime, which is a national group. So.
And is that on Zoom, or how does that work?
Yeah, the of course, prior to the pandemic in 2019, the Burlington Writers Workshop was meeting in person. But then, with the pandemic, everything switched to Zoom. And so, yeah, all the workshops are by Zoom now.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Let's see. So NaNoWriMo offers all kinds of support. Do you use their resources at all?
I've used some. I particularly like, you know, where you can enter each day the number of words that you've written, and they have this nice little graph that tells you, you know, how far you are, you know, whether you're above the line or below the line on reaching your goal. Uh-huh. And it's funny how just a simple little thing like that can help keep you focused. They also occasionally have some great speakers. In 2021, I think it was, or maybe 2020, they had Walter Mosley.
Oh, wow.
You know, famous author, as their kickoff speaker live, but of course by Zoom. And he was absolutely wonderful, just so inspirational, talking about how important it was to just sit down at your computer every day and just be there with your characters, even if you don't know what you're going to write that day. Just sit down with your characters and let them talk to you. And so that was really important to me. And he also talked about how much he valued the editing process, where he felt like the editing process was really the real writing, where you're polishing the gem. So, you know, first you're just getting down whatever your characters are telling you. And then when you go back and edit, then that's when you make, hopefully, your writing beautiful. So that talk that they had for NaNoWriMo, I really valued.
Now, do they keep all their talks available so you can go back and listen to it again?
I don't recall. I guess I haven't looked for his talk since then to see if it's on there. But they do have other supports that I haven't used as much. For instance, there's a Vermont NaNoWriMo group where, you know, you just tell them that you're in the state of Vermont, and then you can communicate with each other and kind of check in with each other. And other years, the Vermont group wasn't as active. This year, it looks like it's a little more active with people posting supports for each other. And it looks like this year, some of the Vermont writers are actually getting together and writing in person. So they're meeting in a local library, and they'll write at the same time together and give themselves each other support that way.
That's a wonderful way to write. I mean, I haven't done it that often, but when I have, it always is very generative. And I don't know, I think when I've done it, it's been with a group where we start with some sort of prompt. I remember once going to a lecture where the speaker gave us all a prompt and said, write for the next 15 minutes, and then let's talk about why that worked well. But I do think there's something about being in community that helps me. I don't know, maybe it depends on your own personality. You know, I mostly like writing alone, but every once in a while doing something different, going to a different atmosphere is helpful in that way. What's your schedule like when you are doing NaNoWriMo?
My schedule for NaNoWriMo is pretty much the same as my schedule all year. I always, first thing when I wake up in the morning, go straight to my computer and start writing. I'm definitely a morning person. And luckily, being semi-retired, I don't, other than my teaching in the spring semester at UVM, I don't have other commitments. So I love, like Walter Mosley, mostly just sitting down at my computer every morning. So the And I'll just keep going for most of the day. Sometimes with NaNoWriMo, it'll prompt me to work longer days. I know when I did it in 2020 for Borrelia, my second novel, that was actually the first time I went all the way through NaNoWriMo. And so in the month of November, I completed the goal of 50,000 words that November. And anybody recalls that November was pretty challenging because we had a major election and everybody was tense. So NaNoWriMo and trying to hit those word limits so that I would reach that 50,000 by the end of November was really important to just keep me going and keep me distracted. And I was so fired up that my novels tend to be about 95,000 words. So needless to say, at the end of November, I only had about 53,000 words. But I was so motivated, I just kept up that pace right into December and completed the 90,000 words for Borrelia, the second one, within just a couple more weeks. So
wow.
So definitely longer hours when I'm doing NaNoWriMo.
So then you have a draft, and what do you do? Do you set it aside and come back to it, or do you start revising right away on the next day?
I revise right away. I usually will will reread what I've written the day before I start writing a new chapter. I just want to have it fresh in my mind because I'm more of what they used to call a pantser, and now they call it discovery writer. I want to, as I mentioned, I sit with my characters and discover where they want to go. And so I'll start out rereading what I wrote the day before, and I'll do some editing if, you know, there's anything that bothers me about it, and then I'll just launch into the next part. So I edit as I go. I know for some people that slows them down, but it doesn't seem to slow me down. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. So you don't outline, it sounds like, if you're a discovery writer, you don't outline. Do you have any idea where you're going or how it will resolve?
A little bit. I mean, each novel has the structure or the skeleton of a disease that people can get from animals. So I will have researched that disease, although that was my career and I already know about these diseases. I'll still, before starting the novel, do last minute research on it and have all the scientific articles and all of that ready. And so I have an idea which aspects of the disease I'm going to cover. Of course, I never really know how much I can fit in. There's always much more that you would want to share than you can fit into it, even a longer novel. So I'll have that worked out. The characters, basically, I have the same protagonist going forward through the novel. So, mm-hmm. You know, I already have her worked out and her family and her friends and things like that. So those things I have worked out, but exactly where it's going to go and how it's going to end, I don't know.
Okay. All right. But that's interesting. And I love hearing of different ways that people will, I guess, frame a story. And that's really interesting to make it about a disease and have that be a natural aspect of your character's story. So that's pretty good. So does the disease inform the plot?
Correct. Okay. So they are mysteries, and so each book, Maya McGuire is trying to figure out a new disease outbreak. You know, where the cases are coming from, what she and other people in public health can do to stop them from occurring, and so that's kind of the underpinning of her job. And then, of course, at the same time, she's a young woman who is very intelligent and it actually has this job with the Centers for Disease Control, younger than most of her counterparts. And she's had some life struggles. And so she's trying to figure out work-life balance and trying to mature and develop at the same time that she's got this high-pressured workload. So,
yeah. Okay. What has your publishing journey been like? So this is the fourth one you're writing, the third one you're trying to get out there now. So what are you doing with that one, and what happened with the first two?
Right. I, like a lot of first-time authors, I certainly considered traditional publishing at first, and, you know, went through the agent query process and all that. And it was an educational experience, but there were some compromises and some issues in going that way that made me ultimately decide that I wanted more control over the process, and mm-hmm. so I decided to independently publish. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been doing with the novels, is right from the first one, Anthracis, and now with Corona, which I'm hoping to publish in probably in February. I've been doing it independently. And so I just formed my own publishing company, Maya McGuire Media, and I've been very happy with doing that. It's actually fun learning the publishing process and the formatting and all that, and I absolutely love the control over making it as perfect a product as I can, having total control over the timing of it and everything like that. So,
I didn't warn you about this ahead of time, but is it possible that I could take a screenshot of a speaking with you holding up one of the novels that
sure.
I could put on the podcast site so people can see how they look?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great.
There's both of them.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, let's see you in the middle there.
All right. Try to get me in between.
There you go. Okay, I got him. Thank you. So have you changed anything about your approach to NaNoWriMo as you've done it now through the years?
Each year is different. I mean, the first year that I intended to do it with in 2019. I just started, as I said, as usual, preparing for it with Anthrace as my first novel by gathering all my research and everything. And I was just so excited by that that I just went ahead and wrote the first draft of the book in September. So I had the first draft done before NaNoWriMo. So I actually didn't even... So NaNoWriMo worked as a focus. It was my goal, but it got me writing it even before the official month.
Oh, that's funny.
And then the next year was the one that I, to 2020, when I wrote the, you know, the whole book and finished it by December. Last year, when I did NaNoWriMo for Corona, I still had the same goal that's typical, which is 50,000 words, but only made it to about 33,000 words with Corona. And that was because Corona, because we're living it, has to be much more anchored in reality. Mm-hmm. And so literally I have to research every single day of the last couple of years what we knew when and what was happening when and what restrictions were when. And so it was much slower going with the writing. So NaNoWriMo was still wonderful last year for kicking off my writing process with Corona, but it took me all the way till this September, so about 10 months to actually finish the first draft of Corona. So that was a much longer process, still supported by being started in NaNoWriMo, but didn't get to finish it close to NaNoWriMo. And it's going to be the same thing, I think, now with the fourth novel about dengue, is that you know, I'm kicking it off in NaNoWriMo, but I'm starting a little late because I was worried, you know, getting ready to publish Corona. And so we'll see, you know, where I get. So it seems like each year with NaNoWriMo, it serves me in a different way, but it continues to serve me. As I said, I was not really thinking about even starting Dengue right now, you know, until we started talking about NaNoWriMo. And I thought, you know, I really should kick off this fourth novel. Well, I mean, that's what they usually recommend when you're writing series, is to be at different stages, to be drafting one while you're editing the second and marketing the third. And you really need to keep up that pace. So, mm-hmm.
It is so motivating, isn't it, to have this I don't know. It's like this kind of artificial deadline that we decide we're going to participate in, but it becomes very important. Like, I wish this could be just the way I write all the time. I'm only writing 500 words a day, but it's much more consistent than what I necessarily do on a regular. I tend to be very cyclical. I might not write for a week, and then I'll sit down and write thousands of words. And in a way, it's a lot better to do it this way. But all right. How do people react when they hear that you are participating in NaNoWriMo?
I think some people are kind of in awe because they think it's such a big task to undertake, particularly, you know, if you tell people that you're going to try for the 50,000 words in 1 month. And of course, there's different goals. As you mentioned, some people are, there's a version of NaNoWriMo that's just for very short fiction. And so people can have different goals. But yeah, some people, you know, kind of say they can't believe you're doing that. And other people, you know, give you a thumbs up. And so so it's nice that that people provide support for that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just have a couple last minute things. I wonder if you have any advice for writers who are thinking of participating one of these years. Now, I suppose they could jump in right now. It's November 14th. They could do the last half of the month, or if they wanted to do it next month. Do you have any advice?
I would say just do it. I mean, I was skeptical at first. I thought, you know, it seemed like kind of an artificial thing. But it's funny how having deadlines makes a difference, and having a commitment and that really, really is important. The other important thing is to not beat yourself up about it, particularly about the amount or the quality that you write, because it is, as we all say, kind of a shitty first draft.
Okay, we can't say that on the radio, though.
You know, your first draft is always imperfect. Editing is absolutely necessary. And so you can't expect to just run out and send your NaNoWriMo draft to an agent and have them pick it up, or expect to publish it or whatever, you have to make the commitment afterwards to do the editing process. And I value highly the workshopping process where you get feedback from other people in regards to, you know, whether your novel's connecting and clear and all those things. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Great. My last thing is I like to offer a writing prompt. I did get one from my first guest, but I'm curious if you have a writing prompt to suggest for listeners who are writers.
Ah, interesting.
And if you don't, that's fine.
I would suggest writing about... they always talk about conflict and challenges are important in our writing. And so now as we face a day-to-day that's in the 30s after we've so recently had days in the 70s,
right?
Think about what that does to you physically and emotionally to make those kind of transitions as the time just changed. And, you know, think of a character and how they might react to all those changes.
Great. Wonderful. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much again, Millicent Ildsen, for being on Write the Book, and good luck with NaNoWriMo. And
thank you.
And we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you.
From the Media Factory in the South End of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. That was an interview with Millicent Ildsen. You can learn more about her work at drmayamaguire.com, and doctor is DR. If you are interested in sharing this show with out-of-town friends, let them know that archived episodes of Write the Book are available on Apple and Spotify and writethebook.podbean.com as free podcasts. You can visit Write the Book on Twitter and Write the Book Radio Show on Facebook for updates. You can also access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com. Stream the show live each week at 99.3wbtv.org, Mondays at 4. If you have a guest to suggest or comments about the show or news about book-related events, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book on WBTV LP Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3 WBTV.org. Be well and have a great week.